Hi David.
Hey Dan, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. You hear me all right?
Yeah, you're a little crackly.
A little crackly, okay. Want me to try another connection?
No, it sounds fine. It just sounds like you're a bit close to the microphone, maybe.
Okay, how's that?
That's better, yeah.
Okay, I can also turn the mic down a little.
Perfect. Great, well, I've managed to find a piece of software that will record my Skype conversations now.
Yay!
My poor little PC. I'm only running the trial version, so it only records 30-minute intervals. I'll have to, if it gets that far, give it a stop and then restart. But it should be fine.
Okay, good. I'm doing the same. I'm using Call Recorder for the Mac. The same one I tried last time, but it's had a few new versions since then.
Oh, right, cool. Excellent. So, how have you been?
Very good. Very busy.
Good. Glad to hear it. Any new major events for the project?
We're very much engaged in what is called shared services these days. That is the notion that many of the institutions that we work with are now finding that there are so many new software choices for instructional development available or on the horizon that it's getting beyond their capabilities organizationally to respond quickly. So they're looking for us to offer a palette of services for instructors, such as blogs, wikis, and various virtual learning environments, which they can sort of choose to use on a kind of self-provisioning model.
Right.
So there's a different approach I can see on the horizon that's going to really affect probably all institutions over time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, I'll just give you a quick introduction of what my dissertation's about. I'm working on the influences of technology on distance learning.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the more traditional institutions like the British Open University and the University of South Africa, which run basically correspondence courses. But Open University have really grasped the whole internet thing, and they have an excellent online virtual learning environment for their students. So that's one of the big things I'm looking at.
Good.
But I've also been looking at the way things like design forums sort of took off by themselves, and in a way it still comes under the ideals of distance learning, where you're obviously not in the same place as the person that's instructing you, and you're learning on top of what would be classed as traditional classroom structure. But what I found is that there's no real hybrid between the two. What is this new digital? It's almost organic the way that people contribute their information to the forums. And I thought that BC Campus actually presents quite a nice sort of compromise between the two. The very structured sort of correspondence learning and the organic sort of new digital style. So what my first question was, is the BC Campus fairly peer-reliant, or is it much more controlled by the tutors?
Well, don't forget that BC Campus is a service structure only that works with 26 public post-secondary institutions. So the service structure that's used for instructional support is really the service structure of whichever one of the 26 institutions you've chosen to take the course from.
Okay.
And those range all the way from fully online courses to more hybrid models. And from BC Campus's perspective, we tend to service things that are more fully online and more fully electronically supported.
Okay.
Now, there are OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, has a very nice definition of online learning in a publication they put out last year, which looked at online learning in tertiary education. So if you were to find that OECD book, you would find the definition, and they have four sort of subclasses of online learning, all the way from the fully online to the sort of blended support models that you're talking about in the design forums.
Excellent. I was going to ask if the students from the different campuses and different courses, do they ever work collaboratively together, or do they generally stay?
There's two possibilities there. One, there are students from multiple campuses taking the same course, and then yes, because probably within the course structure they're required to do that. And the second is we provide an online learner forum environment for learners from multiple campuses, and that's where more informal things happen, like I want to sell my used books, I'm looking for an apartment, what about this, what about that? So that's where that kind of informal engagement happens.
Okay, that's excellent. Because I was going to ask if BC Campus has any of the infrastructure maybe for them to work collaboratively on projects.
Oh, yeah, we do have that infrastructure. We have within the informal online environment, we license two products, one called Illuminate and the other called Breeze from Macromedia, which is now Adobe. And those are telepresence kinds of environments where you can electronically whiteboard and share a common diagram and mark it up together and that sort of thing.
Excellent.
So we do have those capabilities, and we saw it in the informal student forum as more like a place where students might help others with assignments, like, sort of peer mentoring.
Okay.
Now, some of the formal courses may also use some of those structures and actually require students to work together on collaborative projects. So, I teach an online program at the University of British Columbia, and our course requires students to work in teams and in groups to use online discussion forums and tools like that to organize events for other students.
Okay. Because I was looking, that's just what I was going to go on to, is I was looking at a couple of programs a while ago, one called Sub-Ether Edit and one called iStorm. Mm-hmm. They do both quite similar things. One's more of a text-based version where you can work on documents together remotely, or iStorm's more like a brainstorming program where you can brainstorm projects together.
Right.
And I was wondering, do you see those sort of programs expanding and playing a bigger role?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's quite a call for people to use the Illuminate and Breeze products that we support now. And the reason we chose those products is that they are cross-platform in nature. You can, Macs and Windows machines can work together in those environments. There are a few open-source environments like that are starting to emerge, especially the ones that tend to be the most popular are the ones that kind of support that new profcast metaphor, where a professor might voice over some slides or show themselves on video during a lecture and then make those available for download to a video iPod or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the new thing, and two or three of our universities are experimenting actively with that kind of model right now.
Okay.
But on the whole, what most professors have been looking for are things that would allow them to use the web to a laptop or a desktop machine to prepare lecture materials that are voiced over and can also have some collaborative real-time conferencing involved, either voice or text. And so there's a couple of open-source products like that are now available.
Okay, excellent. Last time I spoke to you, we talked about your collaboration with the University of Highlands and Islands in Scotland.
Yeah, more or less of a collaboration and more of a kind of a sharing of information. They were interested in our model and wanted to find a way to potentially collaborate with us. They were most interested in our student service technologies that allow multiple institutions to share a common user interface that students can use to find courses, register in courses, you know, get financial aid, get advisor support, get library support.
Yeah.
And frankly, we haven't heard from them since last they were here. Yeah, so that's too bad. But, you know, sometimes people go away and it actually takes them a year or so of debriefing in their own institution to build up enough momentum again to say, let's move forward.
Yeah. Do you have any plans in the future to network with other colleges or institutions outside of British Columbia?
We partner most closely in a knowledge sharing kind of way on two levels. One, on our structural student service models with institutions like our partner institutions across Canada in Alberta and Saskatchewan and other provinces. But we are also getting some traction on our model for copyright and intellectual property sharing of learning materials and learning objects.
Okay.
And so an OECD representative saw our presentation about 2 weeks ago at Utah State University, where there was a big conference on reusable learning resources, and he took away our model to present in Europe at a meeting, I think, next month, because he saw it as something unique that no one was doing that allowed faculty members to own the products of their development, but in turn share them in an interesting way with other faculty in the same kind of general geographic area.
Okay. Have you had a lot of trouble with your tutors and them worrying about their IP?
Yeah, intellectual property is a big issue for most faculty members, instructors, and tutors. Tutors in our domain tend to work for formal open learning institutions that would be analogous to the British Open University, and in those institutions, the institution tends to treat content development as a work for hire, and it's owned by the institution, and that's how contracts typically evolve. However, in a research university, course materials and any materials produced by faculty members tend to be theirs by contract. And so the way our intellectual property model works at BC Campus is we observe whatever the collective agreement says on your particular campus.
Okay.
So we try to be as flexible as possible and deal with the collective agreement terms. And sometimes it says the faculty owns it. Sometimes it says it's 50-50 between the faculty and the institution. And in the case of our open university, it's owned by the institution. So